Hey, we're back. It's VoiceOver Body Shop, and there's people all over the place watching our show, and we got a great show tonight because we have a wonderful, lovely guest who's going to tell us all about what she does and how you can improve your voiceover business, or if she'll go off in some other direction. Allison Packard, say hi.
Hi.
Alrighty. Yeah. If you got a question for her, throw it in one of the various chat rooms we got sitting around here. And, you know, because we're everywhere. We're on Facebook. We're in our own page. We're on YouTube. We're on Clubhouse and Radio Free Europe. Well, maybe not yet. But anyway.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Get those questions in there. We're going to have a great time. Join us now for VoiceOver Body Shop.
From the outer reaches, they came. Bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master. A professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the voiceover world today, letting you ask your questions and giving you the latest information to make the most of your voiceover business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, JMC Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO.
B.S.
Well, we're back after
ghostly voice in there.
It's, you know, the big star in our crew here. We've got a great show tonight. Allison Packard will be with us in just a couple of minutes. But, you know, while we've been gone for an extra week here, George and I have been getting ready to do a bunch of webinars and seminars. And because you guys are demanding that kind of stuff,
it's teaching season.
It is teaching season, and a lot of people like, we don't know how to do this. Well, we're going to give you the opportunity. Now, you've got one coming up on Audition.
Yeah, I'm going to do my brand of a promo or primer, really, not a promo, but it's a voiceover for Audition or Audition voiceover primer. So if you're in the voiceover
primer
biz, as you're watching, or primer, what is the right way to say that? Is it primer or primer?
Research.
Okay. Depending on what part of the country you're from, right? Anyway, if you want to learn Audition and get up to speed with the new features, because we're going to have Duren Gleaves on actually at Works with Adobe to be there to share the new 2021 features, then you can sign up at georgethe.tech right on the front page.
Wow. Dan, I might even show up for that one. Yeah, well, I'm teaching a three-part series over at VoiceOver Extra. It's a three-parter, one, constructing your home studio. A second one on how to properly record and edit, and a third one on audio processing, which, you know, if you know me, will be about 5 minutes long. no, just some very simple stuff, the things you need to know for processing. You know, most of the time, like we like to say, the engineers don't want you futzing with it. You know, that's what George and I are for.
Yeah, futzing, that's what they say.
They actually say that.
I've
heard them
word.
Say that. Anyway. We're here to talk about your voiceover business, and the way we do that the best is to talk to people who are really successful at it. And you hear them all the time, and our guest tonight, Allison Packard, is one of the most uniquely versatile female voices in our business. As an actor, writer, producer, and musician, she seamlessly moves between genres, lending her face and voice to a myriad of projects for television, radio, film, web, and stage. Allison can be heard daily bringing to life over a dozen popular animated characters and breathing fresh authenticity into commercials and on-air television promotions, written by a really good publicist. Anyway, let's welcome to the show Allison Packard. Allison, welcome.
Hi, guys. It's good to see you.
It's great to finally have you on here. I mean, you've known George for a long time. And when are we going to get Allison Packard on the show? Well, there she is.
You were on my show a couple of weeks ago, and you're like, I can't believe you've never come on Voice Over Body Shop. And here we are. Make it happen.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's talk about, you know, what you do in your career. First off, you know, where are you from originally? Nobody's from here. I mean, you run into a few Angelinos every now and again.
But my husband's actually from here. He's from Oklahoma. Oh, wow. I grew up in Massachusetts. I grew up in a town called Hanson, which is in Plymouth County. So, you know, very puritanical kind of part of the country. And I lived there until I was 18. And then I went to Emerson College in Boston, Massachusetts, which is a
darn, they wouldn't take me. I tried to get into Emerson. But
Well, their loss, for sure. I loved my time there. It was just super fun and getting to collaborate and just focus on the things that were exciting to me. And I finished and I did my last semester. They have an LA program. So you come out to Los Angeles, you would stay here for 3 months and work an internship in the industry. And then it's kind of a soft landing. I just graduated and I was here and totally lit up about Los Angeles and, you know, with a bunch of my friends using cardboard boxes as furniture and, you know, just really in the hustle. And that was about 15 years ago.
Oh, and you just never left.
I never left. I mean, literally, I never left the state. No, I'm just kidding. but yeah, I mean, this place has become home to me, I guess. So here we are.
Yeah, and you do so many different things. We'll talk about some of the different genres of stuff you do. How did the pandemic affect your work?
That's a good question. I mean, fortunately, thanks to George, I did have a home studio, which a lot of my stuff, some of my ongoing commercial campaigns and ongoing promo campaigns were already recording from home. So that aspect of things, I didn't have to like onboard a whole new system. I didn't have to buy new gear and get it set up. So I was fortunate in that way. But the types of jobs that started recording at home shifted. So before it was, you know, if I booked a one-off commercial, they'd usually just book a studio and I would go into Lime or, you know, Studio Awesome or something. And that shifted so that every single commercial was from home. And then they also started doing animated television. So I'm currently working on the Nickelodeon reboot of Rugrats. I play a recurring character, Josh. And that was all done from my home studio. So that was different. You know, to be on a Zoom with like 12 different people, the casting department, the Charlie Adler was the voice director on that. And, you know, being responsible for my sound, which is, you know, amazing. And we had a great sound check. And then there was like a Blue Jeans kind of hiccup. That definitely was like one of the more stressful sessions. And then even I was working on a video game. It's the Outer Worlds DLC called Peril and Gorgon. And they sent someone here. I think they had booked me for 5 sessions and they sent someone here. And that person came with a whole separate rig, microphone, computer, Zooming, like, and it was this like big laptop and wirelessly connected, and they would have me upload the files. And that was a whole nother world, being responsible for somebody else's gear.
When you say they sent you a kit, though, did they? They weren't operating it. They set it up for you and then they said bye.
Yes. They set it up and they said bye, but they were kind of operating it remotely. So they were, you know, but I was also riding my game and having to adjust my levels and everything. So that was like a whole new world. And, you know, I mean, especially in the, I mean, the pandemic has been happening for so long that I think there was a certain point where everybody kind of started to figure out the new paradigm and how that was going to be. So here we are now, still most things, recording from home. I have done a few things in the studio and, I'm fully vaxxed baby. So, I actually, the best thing for me about going into the studio is just being able to work with other people in a more collaborative fashion. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I, you know, I miss the most is being able to work with other people. Everything's remote. I'm tired of Zoom meetings. I'm tired of all of this stuff. Yeah. I need hugs. I go to work park somewhere. I want a hug.
It doesn't happen that much. I'm a big hugger.
Yeah. So. Remind everybody that we're talking with Allison Packard. If you've got a question for her, you can ask it in our Facebook chat room. You can ask it in the chat room on YouTube. You can ask it on Clubhouse, where Danny Burnside is sitting by listening to us. And if you raise your hand over there, you'll get a chance to ask your question personally live with Allison. So make sure you get a chance to do that. You also do a little bit of on camera and stage acting. I take it that's something that you did earlier in your career. Are you still doing any of that?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I came out here equally interested in on camera acting and voiceover, and like many voice actors, just found myself working more in that field. So you follow the heat, and I've been fortunate enough to, you know, within a couple years had booked some really fun video game roles and, just have been able to work pretty regularly, in voiceover. Now, in terms of on camera, I write and produce a lot of my own content. I also enjoy writing music. I actually just posted on TikTok tonight, a parody video that you guys should go check out. I'll post it to Instagram as well, I think. But yeah, it's really fun. So I'm really enjoying, I see myself as really, I enjoy all aspects of things, which for better or for worse, jack of all trades, master of none, I don't know. But I enjoy putting out the stuff that I write. So I just see how can I have the freedom and flexibility around that. And that's another great reason why voiceover does give you freedom and flexibility to a certain extent that some careers don't.
Yeah.
So you kind of choose when you do your auditions to a certain extent and, you know, and manage your time wisely.
Yeah. Well, now I'm looking forward to seeing these. There's been some really great parody videos during the pandemic. And there are a couple of guys that, you know, are you familiar with the Holderness family at all? Or Johnny Rainbow or, you know, some of those guys, some really great stuff because people were getting very bored, as I'm sure you probably were. It's like, hey, let's do a video. I got an idea. Let's put on a show.
People need a creative outlet. Yeah. There's so many actors who are like out of Broadway, out of theater, just like, like kind of jump out of their skin. So there's been so much creativity.
Yeah. So you write your own music, which to me is always like, wow, that's better than even reading it, you know, which I can't do, but being able to write it yourself is, what kind of stuff do you do?
You know, again, I it's so funny. You're going to see a common theme of like not sticking to one thing. I mean, a lot of the stuff I write is in a singer-songwriter kind of indie folk pop vibe. I put out an album in 2019, which you can hear on Spotify and YouTube and all the usual spots. So it was kind of like an indie folk vibe. And, you know, it just ranges the gamut, I would say. Some of it, I write for the ukulele, and that stuff is more upbeat. Do you play the uke down?
I try. George has seen me try doing it. But the wife and I tried getting a ukulele band together, the Yuka Leonards. It just never took off, you know, with the four chords that I knew.
I tried it a while ago, too. We had my aunt, when she turned a certain age, we had a huge luau party, and all the guys learned some songs on the ukulele. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Aww. But it's a great instrument, though. I mean, it just has this wonderful tone to it, and you can, you know, the things you can do with it that I'm like, hey, I never thought about playing uke before, but, you know, it's fun stuff. Now, you do a lot of different genres of material.
For VL.
For voiceover, in your voiceover practice, as we like to call it.
Yeah.
Different skills are needed for different genres. For instance, I mean, for commercial, I mean, you've got to be able to do all whatever the specs ask for. And of course, whatever the specs ask for, generally that's not what they're looking for. what type of commercials do you enjoy doing most?
Did a campaign for Clif Bar that I really liked. And I would say it's aspirational, inspiring, that kind of uplifting type of read. I really like doing those kind of powerful pieces like that. I've done, you know, I do a lot of retail. I'm the voice of Lazy Boy Furniture Stores. And, retail reads are a very different beast. What's very popular, as you guys know, in the voiceover commercial world is non-announcer. And retail, you know, you're an announcer. They want you to hit 30%. But I love working on that campaign because it's a somewhat of a fresher take on the retail. It's not like a stale retail read. So I enjoy doing that. And recently did some stuff for Ameriprise, which that read was, I think the spec was old enough to know, but young enough to like not to go for it or something like that. And I feel like, oh, you know, that's kind of throughout your life, your voice doesn't change too much, but I was listening to stuff that I recorded in my 20s. And I was like, oh yeah, I sound a little younger, you know? So it's kind of nice actually to be aging into that read where you are the one making with the purchasing power, you know? And the one talking to the consumers as opposed to just like in the beginning of my promo career and the beginning of my voiceover career, it was more like, hey guys, backyardigans, you know, that sort of thing. And now my read is much more grounded. I mean, at least if it calls for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the fun thing about commercials is really dissecting what they want in the specs and seeing how your voice print intersects with that. So, right. I always read the specs, and sometimes I listen to what they say. And sometimes I go out on a limb and I think what they're actually trying to say is this, you know, you just have to trust your gut. And when you've been doing it long enough, you know, you can take the liberty to do that. Have a little bit more freedom and a little bit more play, but.
Do you audition regularly? I mean, our jobs are to audition, but mm-hmm. How many auditions do you generally do in a day? Excuse my chair.
They're from 3 to 12, I would say. It depends. Right. I think I probably did 10 auditions today, and I think I have 4 right now for tomorrow. But certain auditions take a lot more time than others. Definitely an animated series or a series regular in a pilot or something is going to take a lot more time than a more intuitive kind of read commercially. So, you know, sometimes one of my like cool new hacks that I like to do is, and this isn't always the case because sometimes, you know, you don't have time to do multi-day prep on something, but to be able to let it rest, to record the audition and then let it rest. And then you go back to it the next morning or with, you know, a couple hours in between. And you can really put your director hat on and hear where you were led astray or maybe where you were faking it and you didn't even realize it. So I feel like that's something that if I have the time, I really like to do that.
Yeah. Well, time is one of those interesting things because you know, I know a lot of people like, I got to get this audition out. You know, it's like, got to be out. It's got to be out in 10 yeah. minutes. I'm like, I've always believed that time's not that much of a factor if you want to get it right. And if you're, you know, there's a deadline. Yeah. You want to get it in, but being the first one in isn't necessarily the best thing if you're going to do a half-assed job with it.
You know, right. Yeah. I mean, the key is the work at the end of the day, but then there's a lot of people that will argue the role's already been cast by the deadline. And I'm also a mom. So, you know, I'm probably, you know, not the person that's going to get it in consistently early every time. I'm going to manage my time so that I get it in before it's due. But I'm probably not the early bird that catches the worm. Sometimes, yeah, if it comes in, especially if something comes in the afternoon and I'm just sitting here at my desk, I can record it and get it out. But
Is there certain kinds of voiceover that really demand very rapid turnaround?
Yes.
On the audition?
Trailer promo for sure. Much more so than other things. I see a question coming in. Do we answer them?
Don't worry about
it. No, we'll get to the questions.
Okay.
That's our department.
Okay. Just what was the question we were talking about?
So like some of the auditions, you really do have to be super on top of it.
Yeah.
Like
commercial
promo and trailer.
Promo and trailer.
But commercial usually have a little more lead time because there's a lot more production time that goes into producing a commercial, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And like a voice match, like ADR for trailers in particular, they usually want that pretty quick. And, you know, a lot of times will lift your audition. So I always give them a lot of options for that sort of thing.
So when they lift your audition in, mm-hmm. what you're saying is you might do the audition and then they go, we got it.
Yeah.
You don't have, there's no session.
Yeah.
The audition is the session,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which means the audition quality is important.
It's great. Yeah. Actually, my son, he's 5. He just booked his first voiceover job and he recorded it here and, you know, he's 5 is little. He sounds like he's 3 yeah. too. He has a very cute kid voice and they lifted his audition for the commercial. So he didn't actually have to do the session, which was awesome.
And you're just sending in an MP3, right?
That was, I think. I mean, sometimes they will request a wave.
For the audition.
That was sometimes, yeah, for trailer, ADR stuff. But more often than not, it's still just an MP3.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy that the broadcast quality that's sometimes suffice.
Yeah, we don't use the word broadcast quality around here. There's no such thing. There's the quality of your studio, which is professional quality. There's no doubt that it's broadcast quality. Or as we like to say, it doesn't sound bad.
It don't sound bad. It don't sound bad.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, with kids, I'm sure it's like if the audition has what they wanted and it's all there, they probably know, do we want to book time with a kid actor and try to work with them and coach them? Or if
this
we
works,
got it,
then
we got it. Let's move on. It makes sense.
And it helps, you know, if the parent is a voice actor, then they can direct the child in the way that, you know,
if they'll listen to you.
and again, with that age, it's always a gamble, right? I mean,
right.
It's a gamble. If you get them on a bad day or they're tired, who knows?
I gave it one shot with Ella at that age.
Oh, yeah.
One shot. Yeah, yeah. And it was the same idea. Very cute little voice. It was repeating what I was saying. She might have been 4, actually. And, you know, it was that close. Missed it by that much, as far as we know. Wow. But you know, it was a try. But do you feel like you have the momentum or the energy to want to keep doing that with your son long term?
So he is my manager. I'm with Cope Management, and so they just had some opportunities come in for actual kids, and they sent it out, and I just said, Bodie, do you want to try? Do you want to record it? And he was all for it.
Does he really, he must really understand what you're doing, that you're in there doing work. So when he came in and he was on mic, did he know that was work? Did he look at it that way?
you know, I don't know.
Is it kind of like pretending? It's just like, we're going to do this fun thing on mic. And how does it, you know, it's, I always find that fascinating with kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and just trying to get him to stay on mic too. He's like, oh, you're making it. Like, you still hold there. You know, I, you know, try and tell him to go like this. And then I like talking to his finger. It's hysterical, but it's, you know, again, that if you want kid actors, that can be a full-time job. So, it's, right. I think it's gotta be a buy-in for him and something that he really wants to pursue. I haven't really reached out to try and get him representation or anything. Yeah. We'll see. He's only five. So, but we know, you know, we all know the pros and cons of, this business, and, you know, I want him to have a real childhood too. So,
Yeah, exactly. You know, but you know, good luck getting in the head of a five-year-old kid, though, and trying to get them motivated. Candy, there you go.
Vibes.
Yeah. You've also been doing a lot of game work too lately. What kind of stuff is, and what's that really like for you?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm sort of booking a lot of similar archetypes for video games, which is like the Mistress Death, Mini and Outer Worlds. A kind of,
you have a type? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
We don't need to, I don't know these characters. I haven't been a gamer in a while.
So I've kind of been, you know, which is something I feel comfortable with, and I love those roles. I mean, games, they really, there's such a range. You could be in there for five sessions or more, or just bang everything out in 4 hours. And one of the very first games I ever did was the Blood Elf in a game called World of Warcraft. And you know, that was like when I found out that millions and millions of people were playing this game, and this character was, you know, one of the avatars, and you can play as her. But then to think, oh, we recorded this in like a 2-hour session. That's, that small period of time had such a huge impact on the game and the world. It's just kind of interesting to think about it like that.
Yeah. Once again, we're talking. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. A lot of times you are, I mean, almost always in games, I've never recorded with another voice actor. So you're in the booth solo, recording on your own, and sometimes the director will read you in with the line before, which is very helpful, and sometimes you don't even get the line before. So you're just giving alts, you know, alternate takes of what that line could mean. Stop right there. Stop right there. Stop right there! You know, just like different choices, and maybe they'll direct you accordingly.
Right. Yeah. Once again, we're talking with Allison Packard, who does everything, commercials, games, animation. Again, if you've got a question for her, toss it in Facebook. Jeff Holman is sitting there patiently writing down every word that you say. Also on YouTube as well. And if you're on Clubhouse with Danny Burnside, raise your hand in there if you want to get a question in with Allison in our next segment in a few minutes.
Hi, Clubhouse.
We'll get the chance to do that. One of the things that I know our audience is always interested in is about representation. And, you know, you talk to people and they're like, well, you know, I'm starting off, I'm going to get myself an agent and I'm going to be successful. It doesn't quite happen that way, does it? I mean, how did you come about getting an agent early on, and how do you maintain those relationships, and have you changed agents a few times since then?
I have changed agents. My very first job was when I was living in Boston and going to college. I just was called in through a casting agency, and I didn't have an agent and didn't really need an agent in that market. And then, so when I moved to LA, I knew I wanted to pursue voiceover, and Janet Shaw, who was a woman that I went to school with, she was an assistant at a talent agency. And that was my first agent. She brought me in and brought my materials in, and they signed me. And from there, that was, I went to an agency called TGMD. And then from there, I moved to CESD. And so I've been there for about 8 years or something.
Yeah. How did you approach them, or did they approach you, or how did you come about, you know, getting, you know, top level representation like that?
Well, at that time, I believe I had done branding work with Celia Siegel, and so she had a relationship with them and sent them my materials, and they set up a meeting, and the rest is history. I also have a voiceover manager. I'm with Cope Management, Debbie Cope. And I originally met Debbie through a promo producer named John Murphy, who sent her my stuff many, many years ago. And she hip pocketed me for a few years, you know, many years, actually, like 7 years. And she didn't really have a lot of female clients at the time. And then maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, she signed 3 or 4 women. And so she brought me on board. At that time.
My job sometimes is to ask you what jargon is. And the jargon of the night is hip pocketing.
Hip pocketing.
What does that mean?
Ding! Well, when a manager or agent hip pockets you, they will send you opportunities for you to audition for them, but you are not signed across the board. So if you book that job for them, then you give them 10 or in some cases 20%. And if you book something on your own, you're not responsible to pay them. Once you sign a contract or are in something more formal, then you owe them a percentage of the other work that you book, not through them.
Thank you.
Does that make it?
Yeah, yeah. That's something. It's just one of those jargon things I've heard thrown around so many times and never really defined clearly. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and I know that's obviously this is a for voice actors, by voice actors kind of thing. But if I'm ever too jargony, just let me know.
Well, and people want to know the jargon. If you know the jargon, it's easier to fit in when someone says something, you're not faking it.
Yeah, anyway. It's actually good that I love it when people do use the jargon because that gives us an opportunity to define that and educate. So,
dude, yeah. I'll jargon it up.
All right.
Jargon party.
Our guest tonight is Allison Packard. If you got a question, again, Facebook, YouTube, or Clubhouse. We're going to take a break right now and maybe get to some of your questions, and we'll be right back right after this.
Ooh, I think I heard the voice of a body shop. I did hear the voice of a body shop. Bean old body shop.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Power 103.9.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle 4, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge rewards. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's Tech Wisdom.
And now a word from Amazon Prime and VoiceOverEssentials.com. Amazon.com is celebrating small businesses again this Prime Day, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials. Congratulations, VoiceOver Essentials. Your successful small business will be included in our Prime Day promotion, saving your Amazon Prime customers money. Here's how. Prime members in the U.S. get a $10 credit to use on Prime Day when they spend $10 or more on select VoiceOver Essentials products from June 7th, 2021 to June 20th, 2021. Prime Store cardholders in the U.S. earn up to 10% back on select VoiceOver Essentials purchases from June 7th to June 20th. Of course, you must be a Prime member to take advantage of this offer. These select VoiceOver Essentials products earn you a $10 credit on any eligible product on Prime Day, not just ours, like the Harlan Hogan Portabooth Pro and Portabooth Plus, the Harlan Hogan VO1A Signature Microphone, the Harlan Hogan Stopwatch, and the Multicolor LED Recording Sign. Don't miss these great Prime Day specials at VoiceOverEssentials.com.
Hey guys, hey listen, would you please say hello to Allison Packard for me? I love her. Thank you so much. Hey, it's David H. Lawrence the 17th, and along with Dan O'Day, I teach the acxmasterclass.com. We want to help you put together a terrific, successful, and profitable audiobook narration practice. And we have a series of free videos this week that are just going to knock you out. One of them will talk about the 7 myths that you need to know about to be successful in audiobook narration. We'll also talk about the concept of accrued assets, where you put together a series of finished work that continually kicks off cash for years. And then we'll introduce you to an inspiration, a 57-year-old air traffic controller who had to retire, was forced to retire, and decided, you know what, I'm going to put my voice to use narrating audiobooks. He's working on his 160th after just a few years. You'll find all that this week absolutely free at acxmasterclass.com. That's acxmasterclass.com.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The Voiceover Body Shop.
And we're back with Allison Packard here on Voiceover Body Shop. Welcome back, Allison.
Hi, that was so cool to see David H. Lawrence's face.
Yeah, well, that's always a fascinating face, isn't it?
We love him.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a bunch of questions here from our vast worldwide audience that is watching the show tonight. And let's see, what's the first one we got here, George?
This one we want to bring in is from Brian Dawson. And it says, do you edit your auditions that much, or do you just give a couple of reads and just send it off? So do you do a lot of massaging of the content before you send it?
I don't. I find that if I massage too much, then I'm kind of chasing the idea of perfection as opposed to that off the cuff thing. I mean, occasionally usually I'll do like a couple takes and, you know, depending upon how it feels, then when it starts to feel good, then I'll listen back and be like, oh, okay, you know, did I get that? And if I need to do a pickup, sometimes I will do another full take and take a little pickup, or maybe that take even, you know, fixed what I thought was not working about the previous take. But I try not to edit it too much. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I definitely know some amazing voice actors that I've had on my show that have said that they edit a lot. And so I know they book a lot. So I'm curious about. But I think everybody has to find their own method and what works best for you. If I get too in my head and start editing too much, then it's like it takes the joy and authenticity away from it for me. But I can tend to be a perfectionist, and that's not a super happy place for my work anyway. Mm-hmm. So I have to kind of fight against that a little bit.
Well, there was another thing that came up. We wanted to make sure that folks knew where to find some of your content that you've been doing, like on TikTok and Instagram. What is your TikTok and or Instagram handle or name, so we can tell everybody it's listening and can't see the lower thirds?
So, on TikTok, it's at Allison Packard, AllicynPackard. I just posted a new parody video, so I would love it if you went to check it out. If you really, really love it and you want to share it, that would be so amazing. And then on Instagram, it's just at Allison, because I used to be an early adopter and could get my first name everywhere. And now, now I'm old. So it's at Allison. It's A-L-I-C-Y-N.
A-L-I-C-Y-N.
That's funny. Beautiful. That was like one of my old demos. Like I pretended I just did the voice of a bunch of kids. Like the teacher was like teaching them how to spell the name. So that's how you spell it, guys.
So there's somebody asked a question, and I'm not quite clear about this, but the fellow's name is Dimebag Darren Lowe.
I think it says it all right there.
And he says, where was the Penny character in Big Bang from? That's the place I'm picturing.
I'm not sure.
That might have been out of context.
Hanson, was she from Plymouth? I think he typed that in after I was saying that I was from Massachusetts. So maybe
that
character is from that area?
Probably.
Land of the Puritans? Lamb of the Pilgrims.
So we didn't get to see your studio yet or hear much about your studio. Let's geek out a little bit.
I don't know. I'll show you because I haven't.
I think the iMac just unplugged your audio equipment when you did that. I think.
Plug it back in. We're talking with Allison Packard, and once she gets this all settled out, we'll get
this
to more of your questions.
This is the problem with IMAX. You know, the camera is all attached. Yeah, it's very hard to, you know, off the back of the computer, you've got five cables hanging off there, and you might have to reset your audio in StreamYard.
Yeah, just click on the settings thing there and get that in there. Oh, she's
anyway,
muted.
While
that's
she's
why.
Doing that, I can tell you what's in there because I'm quite familiar with it. She's got a dual mic.
There we go.
Yes.
We go.
Yeah. Did you get your new dual mics thing figured out?
No.
Fits on there. And
she does have a rig. So this is just an improved way of mounting two mics on one arm. But she found out that when you unscrew your shock mount for your TLM-103, there's a little nugget adapter that's jammed inside there. And let me guess, can you not get it out of there?
Cannot get it out.
Yeah. I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
But luckily, she lives very close to, what's it called? Location Sound. They will have those things.
So I probably need to buy another one.
If you can't get it out of your mic clamp. Yeah. Uh-huh. So anyway... The way she normally has it rigged up is a TLM-103 and a Sennheiser 416. And we're gonna do this new T-bar thing to just have a better... What, I can't remember why we did that. Because it was hard to get the mics in the right place, or did that other mount thing fall apart?
Well, right now we have this.
Yeah.
We had the TLM here, and then we decided to go with this.
Right.
The Sennheiser, but this keeps falling off.
Oh,
the,
it falls off, right.
It falls off. And maybe I need a whole new boom arm because this, it just gets so much movement. I'm always moving it here for auditioning and then getting it out of the way when I'm just on my computer. So it's a high traffic.
Yeah, it feels like it's getting wonky, right?
Boom arm. Yeah.
It's kind of funny when you set these things up, you don't really imagine you may move it that often. And in mm-hmm. her case, so she's got her 416 and a TLM-103. She can use either one. They're feeding through an Apollo twin.
Yep.
And so when she wants to switch mics, Allison, you just load a session recall, right, in the Apollo, and it switches the mics?
That's right. You set that up for me. And
that works.
You know, speaking of pandemic, prior to the pandemic, you had created some effect stacks in Twisted Wave that did some small tweaking and EQing, and I would use this pretty often. But now, a lot of times they're wanting to hear really just the straight flat sound. So I'm using them less these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the requirements for auditions are shifting. You know, and some of this is my own just sort of assumption as to what casting people want to hear. But now that, you know, if you have a really good studio, and Dan knows this, if you've got a great mic and a great room, great acoustics, quiet room, and a good performance, there isn't much that is needed to be done to that to clean it up. I mean, it's when it sounds good coming out of the mic, you're basically there. And I've been getting notes from clients lately saying that exact same thing, that I've been using your stacks for a while, but now I'm getting feedback that maybe it's overly compressed or whatever. So there's definitely a shift in what people want. They want that raw sound.
Yeah, they want to know your studio is up to speed and that you haven't just EQ'd it into a nice place.
You're not faking it.
You're not faking it. Exactly.
Yeah, you're definitely not faking it in that room. And
I
that
love
that
studio.
So that's the whole gist of it. It's just that dual mic setup. And then you've got the, like Dan, an electric lift desk.
Yes.
Yours is going up, Dan's going down. Mine's electric too.
The uplift.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Mishka's making lots of noise here too. Oh, so
hi, puppy.
But when you have your son in there, do you lower the desk height?
For him, if he's recording?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, although he kind of just likes to situate himself over on the couch and be like, I'll go record over here.
He has his own spot where he records.
Yeah, but sometimes I like to record standing and sometimes I like to record sitting.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have the options. I feel like it really, you know, I wouldn't want to record a video game or an animated thing sitting most of the time. For me, I want to be able to physicalize a little bit more. But if I'm standing for a commercial, sometimes I feel like it gets too announcery. I would just want to be laid back. I just sit in my chair and kind of use my body posture to affect the voice a little bit.
Yeah, totally, right? I mean, you're acting. It's like anything you can do to evoke the performance is what you want to do.
Acting.
Yeah, exactly. So what's it like to have a really cramped booth where you can't really move around? I'm just kidding. You guys that can't see the show. She has a bit of space around her. A
little bit. That's the entire studio there? I mean, she works.
You can't see above without causing problems, but believe me, there's a vaulted ceiling above her, and there's a loft behind her. So don't unplug anything. There's the loft. There it is.
Okay.
There's this really cool library ladder or bookstore ladder.
Ooh.
That took a while to get, didn't it?
Yeah, I vaguely remember. There's so much. I was watching our video. You made a YouTube video that from the start, from when it was just a pile of dirt and there was nothing here to completion. And so I was watching that video last week. And I've had, you know, the brain is not so reliable.
That was pre-child, wasn't it?
No, when we moved in, he was 10 weeks old, but he was a baby. He was one.
Yeah.
When we were building it out. So, yeah, I mean, there was so much that I forgot. You know, it was good to go back and watch the video, like you meticulously making sure that no screws connected the inner frame with the outer frame. So that there was no,
we call it shorting out.
Shorting out, yeah.
Totally decoupled construction.
Now, this cracks me up because the contractors went a little over and beyond. How many layers of independent? How many pieces of glass are in the window? Not
six
the doors.
Or seven? Is it six? I think it's. Six.
I think it's eight.
Eight? Oh my God!
I think it is.
Eight.
So
I spec'd out like an internal window and an external window, right? And they were supposed to be each like double pane because that was what was commonly available. Instead of like a single heavy piece of glass that has to be very custom made and everything. But they went double. So they put in a doubleized insert window that had an in and an outside part of double. So the inside window assembly has 1, 2, 3, 4 layers of glass with an air gap. And the outside, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean,
so if an F-16 goes by, you're not going to know about it.
It is pretty incredible. It is pretty incredible.
And they recently, within the past couple of years, switched the Burbank flight path. So it is pretty close. But I don't have to stop recording for that. I mean, even if the gardener is like in the next yard, it sounds okay, you know. Mm-hmm. So the best thing is just the natural light is so inspiring and beautiful that I feel really grateful to be able to, you know, see outside, and we have a double slider as well back here.
So plus, you know, you have complete isolation from family.
Always important.
Yeah, although to be completely honest, the lock broke on my door, so I need to get that replaced because my kid can just basically come in whenever he wants. We're lucky he's not interrupting us right now. Actually,
you're lucky. I mean, my daughter used to come when I was in my old place in the Ocean Park area in Santa Monica. I had just a door to my back office, and if Ella wanted my attention, she would come to that door and beat on it so hard.
Yes.
It sounded like, you know, Animal from the Muppets kicking the kick drum. It was like, dum, 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 dum. It was so loud.
Yes.
I'd be like texting her mom, you know, like, get Ella out of here. I'm in the middle of a job.
Totally.
Oh, my God.
Once again, we're talking with Allison Packard. If you've got a question, it might have a little bit of room on Clubhouse if you're listening in there, and you can write it in on Facebook or in YouTube, and we'd love to hear from you. One of the things I want to ask you is, you know, What's your perspective on the industry today? I mean, we just went through a huge change, I mean, with the pandemic and everything. And, you know, but it certainly, you know, it put a lot of people out of work that immediately thought, well, I can go into voiceover.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who would, you know, that's trying to get in? What do you think the business is really like today? And, you know, and I mean, from your perspective, which is, I mean, you're working network stuff, you're doing a lot of high end things and people are trying to break in and they think that's just going to happen overnight. But how do you see the industry these days?
It's interesting because, you know, I think not just the pandemic, but voiceover has become more and more visible and more of a hot career than when I started. It wasn't something people, it was sort of like the thing that actors did if they couldn't act or something. You know, I mean, there was certainly, you know.
Or maybe not get booked. If they're not getting booked for
they're not getting
on
booked.
Camera.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But it just wasn't, you didn't necessarily like, you know, but now it's like, especially with Gen Z and everything, I feel like there's a fascination with actors and voice actors appearing more and more at conventions. And the visibility on different social media channels that I think that there are, I mean, I feel like it's just exponential. And I always like to evaluate, I think George is frozen, and that's a very funny screenshot.
Lovely. I'm so glad that happened.
So, I mean, certainly I think that the nature of all that means that there is probably a lot more competition for people that are just trying to break in. I mean, that doesn't mean that talent and hard work are not going to elevate your career. But it's just a little bit different. That being said, I mean, we're seeing more streaming services than ever before. Rates are changing, you know, there's union, non-union, and then there's also like SAG low budget digital waivers and stuff, and internet rates, you know, new media / internet, which is sort of, you know, the most the biggest category now, because that is our new networks. So it's interesting to see how things have shifted, and there's also a big call for more I mean, both diversity ethnically, but also diversity of types of characters. So wanting to cast characters that more are that person. So, you know, you're seeing, I think, a broader net of people working in voiceover. A lot of on-camera talent and younger people doing younger kids' voices or teens doing teen voices. So I think there's still a lot of work. I do feel like the work is sort of spread out over a greater number of people than ever before. So that the core voice actors, you know, maybe that's shifted so that there's sort of more opportunities for everybody, but more people mm-hmm. in the mix. I also see that voice actors are how people make their income is shifting, and a lot of people that do anime and do signings are getting a bigger and bigger portion of their income through signings and through conventions, both online and in the real world. People are connecting with fans in other ways. So I this year have been shifting my business to create more time for content creation. And, that wasn't something I thought about, was how do I create content for my fans? What do they want to see? And now that's something I very much am asking myself often, because the people that are playing your games or watching your shows, your true fans are the ones that are going to, know what you're working on and follow you from project to project. So I think that's more important than it ever has been. If I were to do it over, I would have started with World of Warcraft, like meeting more people and like building my list. And so I would recommend that for any voice actor now, is to try and stay connected to the people that are fans of your work.
Yeah, like voice actors in those games are just as important to those fans as on-camera actors would be in a film or a TV show.
Yeah, and there's certain genres that are wildly popular, like anime, and you know, so it's just interesting to see how that has shifted. Where it used to just be localization and foreign dubs and anime, you know, and now it's, you know, anime is a big game. So that's shifted. So it's interesting. I don't know what the future. I mean, we also talked when you were on my show about if there would be any AI replacement of voice actors. And, you know, I mean, the new Siri, she sounds pretty good. I don't think that's anything that's going to happen right away at all. But some longer form narration and some of the smaller jobs, you know, that's a possibility. Not in a frightening, oh no, we all have to run out and get new jobs kind of way, but all these factors are going to continue to affect our business, and our business is such that we don't have any guarantees. You know, there's no guarantees that your voice is going to be hot today and be hot tomorrow. And, you know, maybe your sound is in vogue and then maybe, you know, maybe it's not. So,
yeah, and you never know, but you got to stay on top of it and really know where you stand. I guess that's one of the things about when you're at the top of your game is you're always looking behind you as to, you know, who else is coming up. Well, Allison, it has been a pleasure having you on, and it's way overdue. That is a beautiful studio, by the way. I remember the video of you building that, George. Remember, it's like, look, there's a pad with a bunch of spikes sticking out of it.
But if you want to see the video, it's on my YouTube channel.
It's on George's YouTube channel. Yeah. And so quickly, what are some of the things that we're going to be hearing you on, and where can they find you on TikTok again and those places?
So TikTok is Allison Packard. Instagram is at Allison. I host a weekly podcast, animation video game podcast called Allison's Wonderland, where we go through the looking glass into the wild world of animation and games. And so that's been really fun. We have voice actor Robbie Daymond coming on this Wednesday. And then next Wednesday, we have content creator and voice actor Brian Hull. He's a YouTube sensation. Every week I try and get, you know, people that either that I've worked with or that I really admire their work. And it's been super fun to dive into that. So that's a way we can stay connected. And I'd love to hear from you. If any other voice actors are out there, send me a message and say hi and let me know how I can help support you.
Excellent. Well, Allison, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Alrighty.
Bye, guys.
We'll talk to you soon. All right. We'll be back to wrap things up and get ready for Tech Talk right after these messages.
Yeah. Hi, this is Carlos Ellis Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Well, I want to tell everybody about Source Elements and the creators. They are the creators of Source Connect. Caught me off guard, man. The Source Connect software is pretty remarkable. It's been in use in commercial studios and now home studios for pushing 15 years. And essentially, it's continuing to have momentum because there's very few other things out there that can touch it in terms of its support network and its consistent sound quality. And as well, it has utility that nothing else out there really has, and that is the ability to back up the session automatically during a session. So it's pretty remarkable. You can be in a session with a studio, engineer somewhere else, they're in Pro Tools, they're recording you in Source Connect, and if there's any one of two situations, if there's any drop in the audio, let's say there's an internet bar bobble, happens on our show live all the time, and there's a drop in the audio, the engineer doesn't have to worry or have to make you re-record because it's automatically recording you using something called Queue Manager. Queue Manager is always recording you in the background, totally behind the scenes. And then it simply fills in where there's a dropout in the audio. So that's one thing it does. But beyond that, it also will allow the engineer to choose to replace the audio that they would like with the original wave audio. So if you're working with a production, especially video games, they tend to be extremely picky about sound quality. They can then choose to get the raw audio. And again, you don't have to be recording in other software. You don't have to be recording in a backup program. The Queue Manager does it for you. It's just completely seamless. I do a podcast called the Pro Audio Suite. We now use this method to record every episode, and as all the others on the show, don't have to worry about keeping a backup recording. It's doing it for you. So it's really amazing what it can do, its capabilities. And again, I can't stress enough how important the support is. You get awesome support from Source Elements, live support people you can talk to. They will help you with network issues, whatever it is. It's really second to none. So if you want to get set up with them, get a 15-day free trial. Make sure you know how it operates. Understand, you know, some of the gotchas in getting it set up the first time. And if you need a little extra helping hand, head over to georgethe.tech/SC, where I've got a lot more information and a way to get additional hand-holding to get you up and running. Anyway, thanks so much, Source Elements. I'll be right back to wrap it up.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
All right, and we are back. You'll notice I'm standing up now. Get a leg cramp, you got to stand up.
It's just the way it is. Raises the energy level, right?
Right. Thanks to Allison Packer for joining us tonight and gracing our screen with her loveliness and wisdom and helping us out and helping everybody else out there with their voiceover business. You know, next week on this show, we do Tech Talk 58. We're actually going to record it next. So if you're watching live right now, hang out. You can ask your questions. So that's one of the advantages of watching it live. You get to interact with us personally.
That's right.
But that'll be Tech Talk 58. Who are our donors of the week?
Let's see if I can get these names right first try. Most of these are familiar names to those that listen because they subscribe. But there's a few new ones in there. Yes, like Grace Newton, Philip Sapir, Trey Mosley, Shelley Avellino, Tom Pinto, Martin. I'm stumbling. I'm like anticipating her last name, so it's making me screw up her first name. Natasha Marchevka, Mr. George Whittem. That would be my dad. Nobody calls me Mr. George Whittem.
That's why I put it there.
Exactly. Brian Page, Patty Gibbons, Rob Ryder, Greg Thomas, Dana Birdsall, Antland Productions, Shauna Pennington Baird, Martha Kahn, Martha, Don Griffith, Stephen Chandler, and Robert Leadham. And again, these names often are repeated because they subscribe from the donations button below, or if you just got some really great piece of advice, just drop us a little thank you gift. We really, really appreciate it.
We really do. It helps us keeping things technically perfect. We need to thank our sponsors, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com and
JMC Demos. Thank you.
Our thanks to Jeff Holman in the chat room tonight and Facebook and
yes,
Danny Birdside in Clubhouse. Yeah, after his big movie role. Mm-hmm. Our technical director was the offspring of our regular technical director, Sue Merlino, Hat Merlino. running
things. It's very wise to train
your kids
to be your backup plan.
No,
you know?
No question. Yeah. And of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. All right, we're going to set it up for Tech Talk. Don't go away if you're watching us live. And, you know, not an easy business. That's why we're here to help you out with all the information we can on running a voiceover business. But it really comes down to the bottom line of, look, if it sounds good.
It is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
See you in a bit.